Christian bookstores have shelves lined with books and videos on the latest methods and programs designed to help husbands and wives spice up a failing or failed relationship. Today on Scandia Bible Church Podcast, Elder Frank Acevedo shows us that the only book you really need to read is the Bible. And welcome to the Scandia Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, May 23rd, 2010. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandiabiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join Elder Frank Acevedo as he addresses husbands in part 5 of his sermon series entitled, Servants in Submission to Their Sovereign.
A couple Sundays ago, I had the pleasure of addressing our small body at Mother's Day. And now it's also my privilege to now address the men, the husbands, as we continue to go through 1 Peter, our study of the servants in submission to their sovereign. We are in 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're looking specifically at verse 7 of chapter 3. Just one verse. But ladies, don't feel as if you were being picked on by the Apostle Peter, that he wrote 6 verses towards women, but only 1 towards men. As you'll discover as we go through today's message, he has a lot to say to men. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. One simple verse. Very easy to skim right over as we race through our reading through the Bible daily, through a Bible reading plan or whatever, and just say, okay, husbands, I understand what they're going through, and then that's it. But there is quite a bit here in this one verse, because husbands, brothers, we're at the bottom of what Peter has been discussing, where, if I could put it in this kind of a picture, when Peter came to women and discussed what women had to do, they walked away with a shopping bag of scriptural advice. Men, we have a grocery cart. We've got so much here. Because all that Peter has been listing now is for us. So, you know, when he started back in at the beginning of this study, when he was talking about us, chapter 2, verse 11, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Men, he's talking to you. When he's talking about keeping your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, verse 12, men, he's talking to you. When he's talking about honoring authority, that is, submitting yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, he's talking to us men. When he's talking about how you perform as a worker, he's talking to husbands. In being servants, being submissive to masters, even those who are unjust. And then he adds, Christ is our example. That's where we're looking at when he writes, husbands in the same way. But he also used that phrase when he spoke to women. In the same way, you wives. So in Peter's eyes, both men and women follow the example of Christ. So Peter is, as he's already identified and I've identified, he's speaking to you, husbands, married men. Now, this is very interesting, something I didn't bring up last time on Mother's Day, with wives having their own husbands, being submissive to their own husbands, Peter being very careful to put that word own in there. And in the same way, husbands living with your wives, your own wives is implied there. Paul, in writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, was dealing with an issue very wicked issue, where he, in verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 Corinthians, he writes, "It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife." Very ugly. In chapter 6, Paul writes, "To flee that immorality." Verse 7, then he talks about marriage. He writes, "Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband." So Peter, not directly addressing a situation like that, but making it very clear that husbands, in the same way as the wives that he addressed, live with your own wife. That might sound kind of foreign, but you know, in that day, in that era, it was very prevalent for, and I guess considered very normal, for a man to have a wife, but to also have mistresses and to have other female friends, and that was just fine. But that's not fine for a Christian. That's not fine for, and does not show godly behavior. So Peter, you husbands, in the same way as you live with your wives, in the same way as he addressed the wives, in the same way, and as we've already alluded to, look to our example of Christ, for he wrote that down, didn't he not? "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." Husbands, in the same way as he addressed the wives, we're going to follow our example, Jesus Christ. And I'm not one for little cliches, but I couldn't resist this one. Put Christ first if you want your marriage to last. And that's what Peter is doing here. In the same way as he addressed the wives, put Christ first in your life, the example of Christ in your life, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And by being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him, the Father, who judges righteously. That's pretty tough for a man, is it not? For we're taught to defend ourselves. We're taught to fight back. We're taught to say something, not just stand there and take abuse. But Christ is our example. But even more specific, this is an example to use in a marriage relationship. So, men, when you feel like you're not getting your due and you're not getting the respect that should be yours, what is Peter saying? Look to Christ as your example. In the same way as wives are being called to be submissive to their own husbands, men, in the same way, live with your wives, with Christ as your example. The Apostle Paul also touched on this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. I like to read you this quote from John MacArthur. John writes, "Go back and read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submit yourselves to one another, wives to the husbands, husbands to the wives." You know, men, we don't submit to the authority of the wife. We don't submit to the leadership of the wife, to the headship of the wife. But we do submit to the needs of the wife. We subordinate our own little world and our own little agenda to meet the needs of the woman who is our wife, even if she's not a Christian. Because what was the issue that Peter was dealing with when he was addressing wives? Wives, even if you have a husband who is disobedient to the word, someone who perhaps heard the word, may have at first given some glimmer that they had converted, they had become a Christian, but now we're disobeying the word they heard. We're disobedient. We're now not showing evidence of a changed life, that they were not lovers of God. So husbands, and in addressing our little church here, I don't think that's an issue, but for those you know who have disobedient wives, in the same way as wives are encouraged to win their husband over without a word by the behavior of their wives, so to you men, in behaving like men, yet in the proper way, a godly way, not in a demanding way, may win your wife over by the behavior, by your right and godly behavior. Peter writes, live with your wife. Now live together with, some translations put it. You know, and it's not just to treat them nice and then off you go to do your own thing, but it's to live with knowledge, as he writes here, and with understanding. And this particular verse, and this little section, live with your wives in an understanding way. I really wasn't quite sure what to make of that, so I had to dig a little bit deeper. In the Greek, literally it says, living together according to knowledge. In the New International Version, be considerate as you live with your wives. The King James, dwell with them according to knowledge. And others, live considerately with your wives with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation. Now I'm beginning to understand. You know, you should be thoughtful of your wife. Be good husbands to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. Matthew Henry wrote that it's the husband's duty to the wife implies giving due respect unto her and maintaining her authority, protecting her, and placing trust in her. So men, how well do you know your wife? In fact, how well do you know yourself? Do you understand what your wife needs? Do you understand what your relationship with your wife needs? This Puritan John Gill, in his commentary of 1 Peter verse 7, wrote a pithy little chapter on according to knowledge. 4 points. Men, the first point is, you need to know yourself and you need to know your wife. And you need to know the duties that belong to your conjugal state, as he wrote, and the laws of God and man respecting it. Your marriage relationship. Do you understand the duties that you have in just performing that duty to your wife? Do you also know what your duties are according to the gospel and to what is written in the Christian word here, which in no way breaks in upon but strengthens and encourages to the observance of things belonging to natural religion and civil life? That is, do you understand from the word what your relationship is with your wife and what God has for you to how to behave in your relationship with your wife? Have you really read Ephesians chapter 5? And understood it? Have you read this section of 1 Peter and really understood it? Husbands, point 3 of his little paragraph here. Do you understand and acknowledge that, generally speaking, underlined it, highlight it, generally speaking, men have a superior knowledge of things to women, to wives. And before you start throwing things, you know, don't men generally make the best bakers and the best painters and on and on and on? Yet, generally speaking, in that frame of work, God has placed man in a position which he has a superior knowledge or the superior ability to do things that women don't have. But yet, as we've already read, men submit to women, or actually, you know, each of us submit to one another in your relationship. So generally speaking, if you have that relationship, what's your way of dealing with your wife then? Do you lord it over her? Do you make her a laborer, so to speak, in your relationship? Because the fourth point that John Gill brings up, are you acting wisely, prudently? Are you truly a Christian man, a Christian husband? Because when we looked at submission on the part of the wife, we read that and learned that submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and to help him carry it through according to her gifts. It's the disposition to follow a husband's authority and an inclination to yield to his leadership. As John Piper wrote, it's an attitude that says, speaking from the women's point of view, I delight for you to take the initiative in our family. I am glad when you take responsibility for things and lead with love. I don't flourish in the relationship when you are passive, and I have to make sure the family works. Husbands, are you doing the things that you need to do that makes the family work? Are you working together along with your wife to make sure the family works together as one unit? As with someone weaker, Peter writes, as with someone weaker, why would we say, as with someone weaker? Why did Peter write that? And he answers his own question. Since she is a woman. I was thinking that in the 60s, this movement became popular, but in looking back over history, this movement has been around since the dawn of time. Feminism, the attempt by some women to be more like men. Unfortunately, more than a few foolish women have been sucked into this mindset. It's like a cat trying to be more like a dog. Well, there's a wonderful little teaching from Richard Baxter. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Richard Baxter was born in 1615. And he wrote, the marital duties, mutual duties of husbands and wives towards each other. And I'd like to read to you just the introduction of his little writing here. Selfish, ungodly persons everywhere enter into all kinds of relationships with a desire of serving their own selves and gratifying their own flesh without knowing or caring what is required of them. Their desire is for the honor, profit, or pleasure their relationship will provide them, but not for what God and man requires or expects from them. Their mind is concerned only with what they shall have and not for what they shall be and do. They know what they want others to do for them, but they do not care what their duty is to do for others. Unfortunately, this is the way it is with too many husbands and wives. Wives. A woman trying to be more like a man, demanding those responsibilities, demanding equality. But that is not the case, is it, beloved? As God built man and woman and created them differently, each one having duties that are different from one another. In Genesis chapter 2, we read of man being created from the clay of the earth, the dust of the earth. But where does woman come from? God causes Adam to fall asleep and he takes a rib. Woman comes from living tissue. How precious is that? Men, I'm sorry. We're just from dirt. But woman is held in higher esteem by God. She comes from living tissue. Why would a woman want to be more like a man? From Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and following, Paul writes this tremendous chapter on marriage, being like Christ and the church. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Richard Baxter wants us to remember these points when it comes to understanding what Peter wrote about her being a woman. Remember that women are ordinarily affectionate, passionate creatures, and as they love much themselves, so they expect much love from you. That is, as women are ordinarily loving, giving people, so they expect much love from you, her husband. Remember, point six here, that you are under God's command, and to deny marital love to your wives is to deny a duty which God has urgently imposed on you. Obedience, therefore, should command your love. The next point, take more notice of the good that is in your wives than of her faults. Husbands, take more notice. Let not the observation of their faults make you forget or overlook her virtues. And next, importantly, don't magnify her imperfections until they drive you crazy. Excuse them as far as is right in the Lord. Consider the frailty of the weaker sex. Consider also your own infirmities and how much your wives must bear with you. As John Piper wrote, because husbands, unlike Christ, you are fallible and you ought to admit it. Next, Peter writes, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. And show her honor. Show her honor. I'd like to read to you from Douglas Wilson, who writes from a publication called Credenda Agenda. And he writes about this. In fact, it's entitled, Show Her Honor, to Treat Her Like a Lady. A woman's station is honored and respected in Scripture and should be honored by all Christians as well. The fifth commandment requires that children honor their parents. The father's responsibility is to see that this general commandment is honored in particular applications. One of the most important applications is that of honoring the mother of the home. Children are, of course, to honor both father and mother. This is a commandment with a promise. Parents who care about their children will insist that children learn to keep this command. This is done not because the parents are power tripping, but because they are seeking God's blessing for their offspring. An important part of teaching this lesson, particularly to sons, is the respect and honor which a husband demonstrates to his wife in the presence of the children. Children learn by example. A husband should never speak to his wife as though she were one of the children. A condescending attitude is completely out of place. Neither should he undercut her decisions in front of the kids or dispute with her or demean her in any way. If discussion of a disagreement is absolutely necessary, it should take place away from the children. The father should insist that the parents constantly present a united front to the children. He writes, "I am overstating the point for didactic purposes, but sometime around the age of 16, the children should realize that their parents are actually two people. That's how united they are. He, the husband, should take the lead in gratitude." This is so important. He should lead the family on complimenting her on her meals, on her appearance, and for the work she does in keeping the home running smoothly. He should be saying thank you many times every day, and he should insist that his children learn to follow his example. Is he far off or is he right on? A man must insist that his children honor those whom he honors, and first on this list should be whom? His wife and their mother. Now, honor means much more than the mere absence of disrespect. But men, some of the best teaching moments on the duty of honoring mother come at the points of discipline for disrespecting her. When a man honors his wife, he concludes, in all these respects and many others unmentioned, he is doing two things. He is teaching his children respect for their mother, and in addition, he is instilling in them a high respect for the other half of the commandment. They learn to respect him. He does this by giving, not demanding. He does this by serving, not grasping. A man who insists on respect and honor for his wife is clearly an honorable man himself. And get this, a man rarely stands taller than when he stands for a lady. So men, are you showing your wife's honor? Do you hold her in honor? And are your children learning that lesson of honoring your wife, their mother? And show her honor because she's a fellow heir of the grace of life. A fellow heir. She will share in the inheritance that is to come. Men, interestingly enough, your wife is also your sister in Christ. And a partaker in everything that Peter has taught us so far. Matthew Henry writes, "Women, wives are heirs together of all the blessings of this life and that which is to come. And we should live peaceably one with another." John MacArthur on this writes, "Cultivate companionship, husbands. Cultivate friendship. Respect her as heirs together of the grace of life. The best that life has to offer, the topping on life. This calls for fellowship, partnership, friendship, companionship, communion together." You know, that too was foreign in Peter's day. Women were not allowed at all to associate even as friends with their husbands. They were at best to clean the house and bear children. And John Gill, "God's own people, without any difference as to sex, as to men and women, equally share in grace, as it signifies the love and favor of God, which is the same to all the objects. It's from everlasting, one not being loved before another, and it is free, sovereign, special, discriminating, and unchangeable." The grace of life In Strong's dictionary, grace is goodwill, loving kindness, favor, of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps them, strengthens them, and increases them in Christian faith and Christian knowledge, Christian affections, and kindles within them to the exercise of Christian virtues. So husbands, my dear brothers, are you engaged in this business of grace? Especially if you have an unsaved wife, are you in a similar manner showing to your wife goodwill, loving kindness, and mercy? And whether saved or unsaved, are you praying for your wife, praying for God to bestow his merciful kindness on them, and that he turns them to Christ by the demonstration of your faith, by your living testimony? And as we come to the end of this verse, Peter writes, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Interesting. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Where did he begin this thought of prayer? If we are talking here of an unsaved woman, if this is husbands in the similar way as the wives in the similar way, we're trying to win their disobedient husband back to Christ, then this is what Peter perhaps intended when he said, your prayers will not be hindered. John MacArthur, thinking that Peter is writing of an unsaved wife, says, he's praying for the salvation of his wife. Those are the prayers he does not want hindered. But that prayer is going to be hindered if he is not treating her in the right way, with deep intimacy, with great protection, with provision, and with friendship, companionship. If he is, then his prayers for her will not be hindered. But on the other hand, if Peter is speaking generally about a husband's prayer life, then, to quote Wayne Grudem, this is what Peter is writing about. So concerned is God about Christians that Christian husbands live in an understanding and loving way with their wives that he will interrupt his relationship with them when they are not doing so. No Christian husband should presume to think that any spiritual good will be accomplished by his life without an effective ministry of prayer. And no husband may expect an effective prayer life unless he lives with his wife in an understanding way, bestowing honor on her. To take the time to develop and maintain a good marriage is God's will. It is serving God. It is a spiritual activity that is pleasing in his sight. So, if you want your prayers to be helped and not hindered, you have to live with your wife in a certain way then. There has to be an effort to understand her so as to know her needs. There has to be a special solicitousness of her weaknesses and what she especially needs from you, her husband. There has to be a recognition that she is a fellow heir of the grace of life and an accompanying bestowal of honor rather than any belittling or demeaning. When we husbands live like this, with understanding, with tender care and honor, our prayers will not be hindered. Obviously, if we do not live like this, our prayers will be hindered. They will not be heard. And that's the bottom line. What is the current state or condition of your marriage? How do you husbands live with your wives? Let me put it to you bluntly. Is she your slave? Is she your servant? Is she your laborer? Or is she just a necessary evil? Do you treat her as a play toy, as a maid? Or was she just the trophy wife? Or do you love her? Have you gone out of your way to understand her? Do you honor her? Do you treat her as your best friend? Or better still, do you love her as deeply as you love yourself? Do you love her in a Christ-like way, as Christ who loves the church, who suffered for the church, and who gave up his life for the church, and who continues to do all that he promised to do out of love for his church? In my closing remarks, I'd like to tell you a story, a wonderful story of a man who honored his wife in a most remarkable way. In the early 50s, there was a dinner given in London, England. It was held for certain heads of state, certain dignitaries, and among them was Winston Churchill and his wife. One of the things they did at that dinner was a little icebreaker game, and as they sat down, the men were asked, if you could not be who you are, who would you most like to be? And as the discussion began, it went around the room to these different men of, who were recognized as dignitaries who had been important in the history of England in the 30s, 40s. And at the end, they came to Winston Churchill, and of course, everybody was eager to hear what the former prime minister had to say. If he could not be who he was, who would he most like to be? And he stood up, and he said, if I cannot be who I am, then I would most like to be, and at this point he reached down and he took Lady Churchill by the hand, I would most like to be Lady Churchill's second husband. I bet there were many envious wives that evening, wishing that their husband had been so chivalrous, so gallant, so honoring of them. But that's how it should be, husbands, with us, as it was with Winston Churchill. How high esteem do you have for your wife? A Christ-like submission to the church, where he thought it was nothing to go to the cross. In fact, it had to be like that, he said. Are our own lives anywhere close to the example that Christ gave us? Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Gentlemen, put Christ first if you want your marriage to last. Please bow your heads with me and join me as we close in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this great writing of the Apostle Peter, that to us husbands we may read and learn and understand what you would have for us in our marriages, in our relationships with our wives. First, we thank you for them. We thank you that you have carefully placed the two of us together thank you that if not before, then now we are more determined than ever to honor our beloved wives, to instill in our children that same love and respect that they may honor their mothers. And Father, thank you for Christ as our example. Thank you that he obeyed you out of love so willingly. And Father, as we go through this week, may we, your children, your sons and daughters, love you and hold you in great honor and esteem. And may we live out our lives that bring you glory and honor and respect, and will cause others to question and ask, why are their lives so different? Is it because God truly lives? To you be the glory this day, forever and ever. In our Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandiabiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. Scandia Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsboro, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.